It's our weekly baseball podcast with Kevin Gorman here on Breakfast with Benz. Tim Benz along with you. Kevin, our beat writer, covers the Pittsburgh Pirates. Buccos take it on the Toronto Blue Jays tonight at PNC Park, starting a three-game series after what was a very disappointing trip down to Tampa. A lot of people amped up and excited for that best-on-best AL versus NL matchup, and boy, the Rays walked away very much in control after three games, a sweep for Tampa, outscoring the Pirates 15-4 along the way. Kevin, what did you see from the Rays that overwhelmed the Pirates, and what didn't you see from the Pirates that we had seen so much of in April?
Well, what you saw from the Rays was they did things very similarly to the Pirates, except for they did it all better, whether it was pitching, whether it was hitting, whether it was, you know, being on the bases and driving in runners. The big difference in the series was that the Rays hit six home runs, you know, that they had that little bit of bop in the bats as well. But the difference to me was, you know, the Pirates kind of lost their composure playing against a team that was clearly a bit better than them in every regard. And what you saw was a team that didn't get a hit with the runner in scoring position until, you know, the ninth inning of the third game of the series when Carlos Santana hit a two-run double. What you saw was a Pirates staff that didn't give them the quality starts that they'd become accustomed to. What you saw was a Pirates team that committed errors in the field, even when some of them weren't errors, they were called hits. You saw, you know, Key Brian Hayes, as many spectacular plays as he made, you know, he botched the grounder. You saw a ball drop in between, you know, Jack Sawinski and I think it was Jiwon Bae. You know, you saw the Pirates making mistakes. But what I didn't like about what I saw from the Pirates was how they lost their composure, whether it was Derek Shelton getting ejected, the players arguing balls and strikes, or just the inability to handle adversity in the way that they have done so well in the previous month, you know, plus when you count the game in March. But, you know, I still think, you know, when that's your measuring stick, a sweep wasn't all that unexpected. The game yesterday should have provided a little bit of hope given that the strike zone was a bit expanded and that the Pirates rallied in the ninth and had a chance to win the game and just came up short.
They really did let that crew get in their heads, didn't they?
No question. I mean, it was whether it was the broadcasts or the players or the manager, I thought there was a lot of whining going on. And I think that's kind of unbecoming of a team that has the best record in the National League going into the series, at least, and is in first place in the division. You know, that they spend so much time arguing and complaining about calls rather than just dealing with it and adjusting. You know, even I saw some comments from Andrew McCutchen where he said, you know, it's the umpire's job to adjust to us and not for us to adjust to them. But when you see that the strike zone is expanded, when you see the balls that are just above the zone that are middle, but slightly above the zone are being called strikes, you have to adjust as well. And I thought the Pirates did a very poor job of that.
It's the umpire's job to adjust to us. What did he mean by that?
Just to adjust to, like, if basically somebody's telling you that a strike is up in the zone, like, hey, you know, you called that a strike and I know it was over the middle, but that was up at the letters. That wasn't in my strike zone. And basically saying like the umpire should adjust accordingly. And I think that's, you know, kind of a hitter's take on the whole thing is,
yeah,
that, you know, hey, I've identified what my strike zone is.
You have to know what it is. Like that's not how it works. I mean, like the umpire has his zone. If the umpire's expanding the zone, and I mean, that's why the Pirates lost in the NLCS in 1992. The strike zone changed between two umpires. I mean, it's a tale as old as time. What's he talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that comes across as basically a seasoned hitter who knows his strike zone and said, you know, they weren't throwing pitches, which what I've identified as Mike's strike zone. I mean, it comes across as a bit arrogant, but it's also like kind of an absolute confidence that you get from a guy like, you know, Andrew McCutchen or Brian Reynolds, who's somebody who's very successful as a hitter because they stay within their zone. They're not swinging at pitches outside their zone. So, but it also comes across as a, hey, I'm not going to adjust to them, which is what necessarily needed to happen, especially when, you know, in this case, the manager really poked the bear on Wednesday night. I mean, the manager, you know, and I'm not saying Derek Shelton wasn't justified, but if you go back and watch that conversation between Derek Shelton and the third base umpire and the home plate umpire and the crew chief, there were some pointed words and there were some things that he said that were caught on air that, you know, it's kind of like that, that line that you out of Bull Durham, you know, it's like, oh, he said something you're not supposed to say to an umpire, you know. And it's like there were some things where he crossed the line, and basically it seemed like both sides drew a line in the sand, which was unfortunate because for baseball, this was my take on it. For baseball, you had a marquee matchup of two small market teams that are not big spenders, that have done the things the right way, that built from within, that supplemented with free agents, and they both had great months of March, April, and came into this game with the best records in baseball. And we were looking for a great series. Instead, we got a very one-sided series, and we got a series where one team was kind of exposed a little bit. And it wasn't they weren't exposed that they're not a good team. It's just that they were exposed that they're not as good as the team they were playing.
Kevin Gorman with us covers the Pirates for the Trib. All right, so they get the Toronto Blue Jays next, and the Blue Jays come into town having lost four in a row, actually five in a row, four straight to Boston. They got swept in Fenway. Their top hitters are hitting, but collectively they're kind of middle of the road offensively, and this is a team that's built on offense, and the Pirates missed their two best pitchers. Gossman just pitched and Manoah just pitched, so for as bulky of things have been over the past week for the Pirates, at least they're getting a little bit of a break in that regard.
And that's a well-needed break, especially with the way the Pirates pitching is going right now. I mean, right now we're looking at the Pirates being down one starter in JT Brubaker, which has been somewhat seamless of a transition to Johan Oviedo, because I looked at him as if he was the sixth starter in this rotation anyway. But they also have lost one of their top 10 prospects and one of their top three pitching prospects in Mike Burrows, both the Tommy John surgery. And now Vince Velasquez comes out of the game yesterday after the third inning with right elbow discomfort. And so, you know, that could be a recipe for disaster. He sounded optimistic after the game that had he continued pitching, it could have been more severe, but they may have caught it in time to be able to treat it. But, you know, right now, what was the strength for this team? And make no mistake, pitching was at the forefront of their success in the month of April. What was the strength of this team is now all of a sudden, you know, we're starting to worry about starting pitching depth, because, you know, beyond Luis Ortiz, the Pirates don't have much in the minors that you can get really excited about right now. Quinn Priester, a former first-round pick, is a guy that, you know, there's some hope for in the future, but he needs a little bit of seasoning in AAA, and I don't want to see the Pirates have to rush him out of need as opposed to bringing him up when they believe he's ready. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's a welcome reprieve for the Pirates that they come off of that series, and they've lost four consecutive games, and now they're facing a team that has five consecutive losses, has only a plus one run differential. So Toronto, as much as they have some big bats, they have kind of not really been delivering on their end. And then they don't have to face, as you mentioned, Gossman or Manoah.
Yeah, Gossman second in the major leagues in strikeouts right now. He just pitched yesterday, one behind Shohei Ohtani. The other thing that's aiding the Pirates here is the division in which they play, as opposed to the Blue Jays, who play in the AL East, where every team is above 500. The Pirates managed to not lose any ground on second-place Milwaukee, because while the Pirates were being swept by the best team in baseball, Milwaukee lost to one of the worst teams in baseball in the Colorado Rockies, who, by the way, come to Pittsburgh after Toronto.
Yeah, and not just Milwaukee, but the Chicago Cubs have lost three in a row. Cincinnati's coming off a loss, and St. Louis has lost six in a row. So the division has done the Pirates some favors, even if the Atlanta Braves have passed them as having the best team or the best record in the National League. Colorado's on a four-game win streak as well, so that's who follows Toronto. But, you know, the Pirates right now are in a position that, for one, they have a six-game homestand. They're facing a reeling team in the Blue Jays, followed by a team that they've already swept this season in Colorado. And they did it at Coors Field. And then they follow that by having to go to Baltimore and Detroit. So, you know, you're going to face another one of the top teams in the American League, right? You know, essentially two of the top teams in the American League out of two of your next three series. Because even though the Blue Jays are 18-14 and in fourth place,
well, the whole division might make the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they're a game ahead of the Yankees. And if they were in the AL Central, they'd be tied for first place with the Twins.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as bad as things look for the Blue Jays, you have to take their competition into consideration and who they're playing against. But and Boston, you know, is a team that's 19-14, a game ahead of the Blue Jays. So we may think of Boston as the team the Pirates swept earlier in the season, but they've played well since.
Kevin, thanks as always. Enjoy the series this weekend, and we'll catch up again next week, all right?
Hey, thanks for having me, Tim.
All right, Kevin Gorman, our baseball beat writer here at Trib Live for our weekly Pirates podcast here on Breakfast with Ben's.